You look just like I did at your age.
Please don't say that, Dad.
I'm 16 years old. I'm not a child.
Don't you take that tone of voice with me, young lady.
Love you, Dad.
I love you too, son.
Welcome to another episode of Honey, We Made a Disney Podcast. I'm here today. I'm JB, and I'm here with one of my best friends.
Eddie Ferguson. We have been friends since first grade.
First grade. This is crazy. Today, we are going to be jumping into our first, this is our first episode, and we're going to be jumping into the only movie in 1988 worth talking about, which is from Disney Animation, Oliver and Company. But first, Eddie, how are the kids?
Kids are doing wonderful. We are fresh back from one of your favorite activities, camping, where we love to go camping.
I really am happy for you. I know that it brings you so much joy, but it does not do it for me.
So we were 45 minutes past checkout time because every time I tried to pack up a different item, Lewis would melt down and go, no, not my chair.
Oh, no.
And then we would get to the bike and then, no, it's not the bike. So it was really hard to pack up when you've got a two-year-old melting down, sad that you're packing up everything. And he doesn't realize, you know, just give it a couple of weeks and we'll probably be back at it again. But it was a wonderful time. We only kept up about half the campground with crying kids through the night, but it made up for it the next day when you're walking around with cute kids and everybody's like, oh,
that's a little thing that was keeping me up last night. Oh, gotcha. Yes. How's it working with the new camper? The new pop-up?
We love it. Yeah. So that was one of our big quarantine projects is we bought a 1989 appropriate to the era.
Ooh, this is perfect.
Coleman Columbia pop-up. And we put a ton of sweat and elbow grease into it to clean it up. And it is now a pretty fine camper, if I do say so myself.
And if the people out there, all the listeners want to know more about how you came to renovating this thing, I think we should plug another
Hanging with Herky.
My parents' YouTube
channel.
H-E-R-K-Y, Hanging with Herky on YouTube. Eddie's parents have a robust following on YouTube. It is really
special. They do, and they have a lot of fun with it. And it's so great. That was one of the things we did during the lockdown is film a pop-up remodel series together.
I watched every episode when it came out. It was great.
It was riveting. It was riveting.
It was good.
But enough about us. Yes. We are working our way through all the major Disney movies released during our childhood, our formative years. And this year's movie is in the illustrious year of 1988.
1988. Big things happened in 1988. And so we're going to jump through some of those just to get you in the mood, the mindset of what actually was happening during that year. And we'll do this every time we jump into the next year of movies. And we were both
cross a milestone.
Yes, we were both born in 87, but really there was no movie that was worth talking about.
No good movies. Disney celebrated our birth by saying, yes, let's give this year to JB and Eddie.
They knew what handfuls you were gonna be, and so they took a year off from that time.
So 88 actually brought the first president that I can remember was when George H.W. Bush was elected president in 1988. I don't remember Reagan. I was way too young. but that is kind of always a formative thing, I think, where we kind of mark when presidents come in. So 88 was the year. That was Ronald Reagan's final year in office and the year that George H.W. Bush was elected.
One election, yes. I had to look these next ones up. We're going to move to entertainment. The number one song that year was Faith by George Michael, which I knew nothing about, but when I played it, my wife started singing it immediately. The number one movie in theaters that year, highest grossing film, was Rain Man. And check this out, Phantom of the Opera came out in 1988. First time it hit Broadway.
There you go. And it's been running strong ever since. It's one of the longest running Broadway musicals. And we have the first internet virus. This is kind of a fascinating thing in 1988.
I laughed so hard when I heard that.
Definitely on a PC and not on a Mac. Mm-hmm. And the this is, unfortunately, maybe, is when crack cocaine actually came onto the scene. And I love that you added that into the show notes, that let's mark whenever
every
major drug comes out onto the scene.
Oh, my God. I probably should have moved this farther down to, like, end with crack cocaine, but we'll just keep trugging through.
It does help set the scene for this episode's movie, man. For sure.
It might also come back around on 1989 when we jump into that. There's some other stuff there. So Super Bowl, the Redskins won the Super Bowl. NBA, Magic Johnson won his fifth title and final title with the Lakers. And then my beloved Dodgers won the World Series. But that's the last one we've won. Although the Astros may have stolen that from us in 2017. Well, we're going to move past that. But then also the Olympics. I did not know this. Both Summer and Winter Olympics were in the same year in 1988. And this was also where, if you love another Disney movie, I'm sure we'll get to, Cool Runnings. Although, or was that, it might have come out before this. I don't remember when that movie came out. I think
the movie comes out in the late 90s.
Gotcha. So the Jamaican bobsled team that inspired Cool Runnings, That's where it came from, was in 1988 at the Winter Olympics, was the Jamaican bobsled team.
And let's just remember the momentous occasion that was in the first quarter of 88 is when we turned one. That was probably celebrated around the world.
Around the world.
100%. Around the world. So... enough about what happened in the year. Let's actually dive into this episode's movie of choice. Cue the Disney-ish sound effect.
So we're going to talk about Oliver and Company now, and just reading off just what I found on IMDb, because they can explain it better than I can. It's the story of a lost and alone kitten joins a gang of dogs engaged in petty larceny in New York City, which is basically a perfect way to explain
a kid's movie.
We
need a kid's movie about petty larceny.
Petty larceny. It's great. But it is based off, this is based off of Shakespeare, right?
No, this is based off of a Charles Dickens classic.
Every other Disney movie, it's based off of some Shakespeare. I was thinking. I knew what I was thinking, but I just said it out loud as Shakespeare, and I immediately wanted to grab it and pull.
No, this is Dickens. This is Dickens. Charles Dickens.
Oliver
Rose
Twist.
Rust would be so disappointed with you,
Rose.
Jamie.
I hope she's somewhere watching our copy of Beowulf that we gave her.
Yes, this is based off of his beloved novel, Oliver Twist. Oliver is a homeless kitten who joins this gang of dogs. And I think immediately about the movie is it is the 80s in animated form, I think is the best way that I can think about describing this. If you can imagine all the things that just kind of clothing and music and swagger of the 1980s, it's like we need to capture this in animation. And that 100%. Is what Oliver and Company really represents.
The music, it goes back and forth between a 80s hip hop and then directly into some numbers. I feel like it's straight out of a Broadway musical number, like the dog doing the perfect me song as she's pampering herself and stuff like that. It just like goes straight back and forth between the two of them.
So you can't mention Oliver and Company and not mention the two big musical stars that voice this. You have Billy Joel, who voices Dodger, which gives you some of those big 80s kind of pop numbers there. And then Bette Midler is the one who voices Georgiana, which gives you those big Broadway numbers. Yeah. And Oliver, of course, is voiced by Joey Lawrence of Disney Channel movie fame. I know you are a big fan of all the Lawrence Brothers films on the Disney Channel.
I am.
They are many.
I am. I'm trying to think of what they are. I'm sorry.
You've got them all on your queue for Disney Plus.
You're talking about Melissa. I'm looking at the IMDb right now, and it's Melissa and Joey. That Joey. Oh my god.
Yes, him. He was the one who voiced
a long time ago.
I do have to say, though, like, why should I worry? The opening big song is so much fun. Like, it is a classic Disney music over the top. It's just kind of fun and lighthearted. I think that one's by far my favorite. It's kind of sad that you start the movie with the best song in the whole movie, but it is a really good one and a fun one.
Eddie, can I confess something real quick? So it's interesting that we're starting with this movie because as a child, I remember more about this movie. I remember more the trailer for this than I actually remember watching this movie. Like every
what
moment.
What do you remember about the trailer?
I remember all the elements, the songs, the one-liners that Tito was using throughout the movie. Yeah. That's the majority of what
torture,
I remember.
If this is torture, chain me to
chain
the
me
wall.
Chain me to the wall. Whatever, in my bad accent. I mostly only remember the trailer moments from this movie, the songs, the different stuff like that, them walking down the road and stuff like that. The rest of this film, I remember so little about like what the story was. I remember there was a girl in it. And so going through, it was basically kind of like watching it again for the first time recently when I watched it with my family. And I was just sitting there going like, I only mostly remember the movie. I don't remember any of the plot line. I don't remember any of that stuff because it was always somehow on all of these other movies that I watched over and over again. That came out a little bit later. Maybe it was Little Mermaid or something. That it was just as your VHS. When you can't skip ahead. You got to watch all of them.
Watch through all of it.
And there was always this Oliver and Company trailer. So that song, those hits, like those are what I remember over and over and again from my childhood. Of like that moment, that one liner. Oh, that's what he was actually meaning. I just remember the one liner. So I just wanted to get that out there and reveal myself that I don't really remember much from this movie before I rewatched it.
I wouldn't say that this was like one of my favorites to watch, but it was one that I remember having the VHS of, and definitely that kind of like opening scene when I watched it again for the first time in a really long time. I can't remember the last time I've seen this movie. It really did, yeah, just kind of jogged back and remembered some of those kind of unique things. Of the gang of the dogs and kind of all of
road.
Like it's as if nobody none of the human beings realize dogs are running New York City. I kind of remember that free willing spirit. It was just kind of what kind of came back to me, and I remembered so much about this movie as we were watching it.
We definitely can't go much longer without talking about one of the classic voice actors for this, which popped up in so many movies, which is Dom DeLuise. He's the voice of Fagin, the only human, the human, I don't even know, would you call him a hero in this story? He's the down on his luck guy who basically kind of took in these dogs and feeds them.
Yeah.
But that voice actor is basically my childhood. He's Tiger in American Tail and Five Goes West. He's Itchy in All Dogs Go to Heaven. He's also in The Secret of Nim, which are all kind of done by Universal, but this is one of his few Disney movies. Disney. But that voice, that like desperate kind of like like he's laughing but inside he's crying voice, Dom DeLuise was so much about my childhood. I remember that voice specifically.
I love that you brought him up because that was the same exact reaction I had. The second his character walks into the room and you hear his voice, it does just trigger so much of childhood because I think of those movies his other movies that we did, especially I think An American Tale was such a big movie that we would watch
Tiger,
a lot.
Both those movies, yep.
and All Dogs Go to Heaven, we would watch that one on repeat.
Especially so for you guys being dog people.
Like, and you not being.
I don't care. I like the movie, but I probably didn't tear up as they were going to hell or wherever they were going to in the middle of
It was a dark movie for sure.
It was creepily dark.
It is fascinating though how much like a voice actor does resonate, but at the same time, like, he's not a voice actor that necessarily changed his voice a lot.
He did the same different thing.
He just kind of did the same thing every time,
over and over again, and we ate it up. We ate up every second of it.
But still, a classic voice. It's a fun movie in that you get such a diversity of different characters. I think they tried to play a little bit to different kind of stereotypes and kind of pull on that Tito. Just a tad. What about Sykes? I forgot how terrified I was of Sykes
terrifying, and his dogs as well. His I think those are Doberman. You're the dog person.
Doberman Pinschers.
Yeah. Doberman Pinschers. I mean, they're pretty terrifying to watch as a child.
I remember being fairly certain that, you know, he was going to come for me.
He's going to come for you.
Yeah.
Inside of that, this also brings up the Disney stereotype for many, many years, and they had to kind of reconcile it, is the copious amounts of smoking in their movies. That I remember being in college, never even thinking about it, getting to college, and we had a whole conversation about, yeah, Disney's having to rectify this thing they're doing where they were having smoking in all of their movies. And a lot of times it was like a bad guy or whatever. But then I think even Tito in the middle of it, he's got a cigar. He's going, and it's just like, this was in the, I don't know if it's in the middle or the end of the Disney smoking era. But it just reminded me of that when you see Syke and he's the bad guy in it, it's going to come up in Honey, I Shrunk the Kids next. But I just remembered going, oh, Disney smoking era. It's been a while since I've seen some of these moments where it's just like lots of smoking happening around. We're just around kids, around dogs, around everybody.
I love they do now include that. I don't know if you watch when you watch it on Disney Plus, it gives you kind of the little random warnings at the top. And now they always tell you if it contains smoking in some kind. And this one definitely. Yeah, I'm surprised if we grew up watching all of these movies. Why aren't we, you know, chain smokers? Isn't that how it happens? We watch a dog light up a cigar and we want to go smoking all the time.
Exactly. Exactly.
Looking on this with some parenting eyes, I watched this with Lewis, and there was definitely a few moments where from the other room, Sarah would be like, should he be watching that? Like, should like you turn part? His eyes away? Well, I think like most is, you know, anything with Sykes and the dogs, and especially
and to clarify, Lewis is how old?
He's a little over 2 years old.
He's a little over 2 years old. My son is almost 4 years old while watching this. Let's just clarify that. They're not 13.
Yeah, yeah. So the beginning of the movie, he loves it, right?
My son loves it too.
He's like, should I? We've not watched this movie yet. So he's suspicious. As a 2 year old, you just want to watch the same movie over and over because you know they're a sure bet. So here I'm trying to convince him to watch another movie with me. And he's very much reluctant. So I was like, no, this is a movie about dogs. Dogs. Okay. Then the dogs get on top of taxi cabs and sing, which is, you know, every child's dream.
Every child's dream. Does he dance along with it?
Yes.
No. See, Buddy's just like, for a second, and he's just like fully engaged. But he loves the dumb physical comedy. So if anybody gets hurt, falls off something or whatever. So now we're looking at this. Obviously, we're thinking of like content wise, is this appropriate for my kid to be watching or whatever? And most of it, especially when it's cartoon, it's a lot. The threshold is completely different and easier. But was there anything that jumped out to you of like parenting wise from watching this movie?
Well, I think the if you're going to be out of the country for a long period of time and leave your kids in the care of somebody, find somebody more competent than Winston.
You're not a Winston. You're not going to let Winston watch your kids, is what you're saying.
Right, right. I think as a for a movie character, Winston's fun and hilarious. But as a parent, I'm sitting there going, why would you leave your kids with your kid with this buffoon?
I'm just wondering, so one random aside, can you tell me why they kept focusing on the fact that he was a boxing fan? What was the purpose of that?
I think they're trying to kind of give you two sides of one guy.
He's very put together, but he also likes people punching each other.
He's British, and then oh, he's boxing. Whoa, I didn't see that one coming. But yeah, they seem to highlight it a little too much. We do have
I was amazed at how much she was by herself, especially like out in New York City, like on a carriage ride by herself basically just by herself. She was buying jewelry
all by herself.
Like what? I'm just like, where
and this is he just the like year on the that side? Crack cocaine came onto the scene.
This is the year crack came on the scene. So
it could have been dangerous.
It could have been dangerous, but she's just sitting there with all
she
of her.
She could have even been kidnapped by a madman with two dogs.
I mean, that's, it basically is a plot device. Yeah, that's exactly what happened. What also didn't strike me weird, I know we're supposed to be talking about parenting right now, but she gets the ransom note for the kitty for Oliver. I know that I'm not supposed to be analyzing this, but just go with me. She's bought him jewelry, silver bowls, all this kind of stuff. And then she goes to pay the ransom by herself, which I don't even know how she got there. And she just has a piggy bank. She couldn't hit up Winston for a couple hundred bucks or something.
Hey, give me a 50. I need to.
Why
go
was this the moment she was like, I'm gonna not use my ATM card?
Or why didn't she ask Winston? He's obviously a boxing fan and could just beat up whoever kidnapped her beloved kitty cat.
I don't understand. No, my alarm bells as a father was like, how did she get here? Where's Winston? Is he, and did he even, he doesn't show up until the very, very, very end, right? Like he's
it's like, boom, he's at the birthday party.
He's out of the picture this whole time. That was a big red flag. Also, it's supposed to be like a cheerful moment at the end where obviously her parents are off who and God knows where this whole time on work. And at the end, she's having a birthday party. Her parents are still not there. All the animals and Winston around her.
They're like vacationing in Europe.
Yeah. And then they call. They're like, hey, honey, just letting you know, we're going to, I don't think they talked to her. They're just like, hey, Winston. She's like, hey, the parents, they'll be back tomorrow. Tomorrow's not her birthday. Why didn't they leave a day earlier to get there for her freaking birthday? Somehow, are these parents?
I have a feeling they were just trying. Well, so what are they trying to do, right? Like, are they trying to get the parents out of the way of the story because they think it's easier to tell the story without the mm-hmm. parents? But at the same time, you have this crazy guy, Winston, you know, it's not like he got in your way.
Yeah. At least like with Lady and the Tramp, they bring the family back and they're right. there to rescue the dogs and stuff like another dog movie. But like this, they're just like gone the whole time. And it's supposed to be like a happy moment. They're calling in on her birthday to say they're going to be on the day after her birthday. What is up with this, Disney? Seriously, you couldn't like make them arrive in time or something like that?
For a family-oriented company, they do tend to get rid of the parents as quickly as they possibly can in many of the stories.
Yeah, she's cooking in the kitchen by herself. She's raised by Winston. Wandering about, and that's all before the big climactic thing where she gets kidnapped because she's just on the docks somewhere in Jersey or something.
Well, remember how this gang of dogs can just so simply break into their house and lock Winston out onto the streets and, you know, run through willy-nilly. Like, how, what? So we have to talk about the final scene, the climax of the movie, when she is kidnapped in Sykes' office and he's threatening to kill her, which is very scary for, like, this is one of those moments where it's like, okay, Lewis is not watching this. We don't need to him thinking these guys are out here to kill him.
Also, she witnesses someone die. Yes. She the car is literally going down the train tracks and they jump off and then his car gets run over by a train. So she's really young. Scene. The whole scene.
With the dogs getting thrown off, him, like, and I want to know, like, how much money does Finnegan owe Sykes?
That is something we've never gotten to the bottom of.
Because it's like, what is the dollar amount in 1988 that makes it worth you trashing your, what I'm assuming is an expensive car, to like drive it down the subway tracks to destroy it and ultimately take your own life because of this? Like, how much? I mean, we gotta be talking like a couple of million dollars, right? Or at least so
millions.
At least $1 million in 1988. Well, right? Is Finnegan spending $1 million on? That's what I also want to get to the bottom of.
Now, hear me out. I think that maybe he didn't owe as much, but once Sykes sees that there's this girl and she's probably coming from a lot of money and where the True. Park Avenue
she lives on,
he goes, Park Avenue. Yeah, your debt's going to be paid off and then I'm going to get a ton more money. And she's this cash cow that he's got to hold on to get the real number in there. But yeah, it's ridiculous. Have we talked about the morals of this gang of dogs that are stealing car radios? Like, that's one of the scenes, is they try to steal a car radio. Then randomly that's how Oliver gets into the company of this family. Like, this is the people he's hanging out with, but they're his best friends, and now they're invited into the home to keep on stealing stuff. Are these the type of people you want your kid hanging out with?
Well, I mean, it's, you know, petty larceny, you know, that's all.
Petty pet larceny. That's what we're working on.
No, right, I mean, here. You've got that and a loan shark. I mean, it's just, I guess, though, if you're wanting to depict 1980s New York City, that's fairly accurate. Sounds about right.
I think all that's missing is
the crack cocaine.
Is the crack cocaine. That's the only thing we didn't have in this. I think this is a good time to, I'm going to flip this out of order a little bit before we talked about, but I think this is a good time to say, what was the unintended moral of this movie? I don't know if you had some time to think about it. Every one of these Disney movies at the end of them, I kind of feel like we always think about kids' movie having a moral to it. But there can be some unintended moral consequences to these movies. And Eddie, did you have any you thought about, or do you want me to go first?
I don't know if I can articulate it well, but it's the idea that, none of the thievery is ever really looked down upon. And even, you know, like to the end of the movie, like the gang of dogs and, you know, Finnegan are still doing about their life.
I think my thing would be then, steal all you want. Because if you're cute enough, someone who's rich will bail you out. I think that's the moral of this story. The other one was the literal line from it is, it's wrong to steal kitties.
Yes.
That's the actual line from the movie is, it's wrong to steal kitties. But I think I like that, the idea that if you're cute enough, you can steal all you want and someone from a rich benefactor will save you.
We'll bail you out.
As well as your petty larceny, whatever. I can't even talk. I don't even know. What is it? It's petty larceny?
Larceny.
Petty larceny. There we go. I think that's the moral of this movie is that. I think we've nailed
it. Yeah, it's just, and it just ends. Well, and it ends with the dogs just getting swept back up onto cars on top of traffic.
Oh, and then they go back and keep on doing what they want, but now they got somebody if they need some high-class dog food.
I will have to say, like, Disney is known for their masterful reprises. And the reprise at the end of the movie of Why Should I Worry? It's solid, right? Right. We open and we close with our strongest song. Yep.
So, Eddie, how many... So we're going to rate these movies using some childhood snacks. I think so we'll start with fruit snacks. We might change it to gushers or fruit roll-ups or branch something like that. We'll branch out. But how many fruit snack ratings out of five would you give this?
Out of five. I would probably give this 2 out of 5.
I was going to go there too. I think the music helps it. The music,
yes.
The two song, basically it's the one song. It's a couple songs really does it for me. It's not something I'm going to be dying to rush off and to watch again.
It's Billy Joel, and it's what's his name again? The voice actor behind Finnegan.
Dom. I'm just going to call him Dom because I literally can't keep his name.
If you didn't have these two guys, you wouldn't have. Hard. Yeah. You'd only get one fruit snack from me, and I'd be eating the rest of them.
Yes. 100%. That's how I feel too. So here's a question that I want to propose to you, and it's the question that changes how we see these movies, and it would change the story completely. And I think we should do it every Disney movie. What would happen if their parents weren't dead? And in this movie, what if her parents were around, right? Because that's the reason all this happened. Or are we going to talk about Oliver and if he actually had parents and wasn't an orphan?
So that's what's interesting, right? Like, who is the main character here? Is it Oliver? He is the titular character.
Yeah.
But then you also have the little girl. What was her name?
I was trying to avoid saying her name because I couldn't remember. I couldn't remember her name either. It's Peggy or something. Jenny. Like that.
Jenny.
It might be wrong, but we're going to
Jenny. We just watched this movie and we can't even remember her
Let's
name.
Go with Jenny for right now, and then we'll move to Oliver if we feel like
So if Jenny's parents are here. That does make the
biggest
here.
Difference.
Right. So if Jenny's parents are here.
They're here, but they're not around.
I don't think we would have even gotten Oliver into the family.
No, he's not around because they're
they'd be like, around. This is a mangy street cat.
This is a street cat.
Let's drop him off at the clinic or at the shelter. Let's give him even, to the shelter. And let
when them. You see that one mom reach down to her kid and say, hey, son, we're not going to.
Yeah.
We're not like you can play with it later. And that's 100% what I would be doing, too, is like, yeah, you can play with it later. Give him a little bit of hope. But, you know, we're never going to come around this cat anymore.
Or if we get all the way to let's just say we get all the way to the third act of the movie. It's definitely mom and dad going to the docks and Finnegan gets arrested and gets
would they even away go from or science. Would they just send Winston go deal with this or they're paying their own thugs. If they're that rich, they're going to pay their own people to go get it.
So Winston would have taken down Finnegan, but could Winston have taken down Sykes?
That might be hard. I don't. I think I'd pick Sykes over Winston in a.
He does. He's not like he's a.
I don't know that he's a boxer.
Fighter.
No. Yeah, he's not. I don't know that he is, but
he's just brute force, right? He sends his dogs out, or he tries to run him over with his car.
Yes, this is
so.
This car is
really the villain of the movie.
It really is. This scenario, what would happen if their parents weren't dead? It's kind of like how the movie should have ended. What's that YouTube channel? Mm-hmm. How it should have ended or whatever. That's what we're talking about. Is any one of these scenarios, almost any Disney movie, you can ask the question: what would happen if their parents weren't dead? And it would be completely different. And that's what would happen. Oliver is still on the street. And he's still a mangy cat hanging out with these dogs. Maybe he still has a good life with the dogs or whatever. But then maybe they don't get Fagin never gets paying off his debt. And then now they're really on their own and maybe they die. I don't know. So maybe it is a better movie because the parents aren't dead. Because for the dogs, at least.
At least for the dogs.
For Jenny, she has less traumatic stress disorder. But
So this is, we said, the 80s in animation form. What if they were to have set this in the 2020s?
Ooh.
What would this movie...
She's got a phone. 100% she has a phone.
She has a phone.
She's doing all kinds of Instagram stuff with her and Oliver. 100%.
See, and I was thinking, like, Oliver is chipped, and they just scan the chip, and they're like, oh, he belongs to... Da, 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 da.
100%. Yeah, this also, again, ruins the movie, but...
But a kitty, you know, it could be very Instagrammable, gets her lots of extra follows and likes.
I agree. So that's Oliver and Company. Go check it out on Disney Plus if you want to. We didn't really care for it that much. But in our final segment before we go, we want to leave you with some dad tips, being dads.
Some quick tips.
Some quick tips. Eddie, you got a quick tip for everybody?
Yeah, don't go on vacation during your kid's birthday. That's like... Dad tip number one, be there during birthdays.
Don't take in animals at all. Don't ever get an animal. Eddie,
no,
you've never taken
no,
an animal
I
off
totally
the street
disagree.
Of Mexico
I've got,
before.
I've got my dog sleeping right next to me.
Well, for that is our first episode of Honey. We made a Disney podcast. Before you go, just want to send everybody, go to honeywemade.com/listener, and we're going to have a poll up there for you guys. And Eddie, what are we going to do for a poll for this time for our listeners to participate?
Who would you rather have as your pet, Oliver or Dodger?
Great, great, great question. Want to hear that. We're going to continue to leave these polls up on each of the episodes so you can join in and tell us what you think. But before you go, please subscribe, hit that follow button wherever you listen to podcasts. We're going to try and get it up everywhere. Also, if you've got a question and you want to send us stuff, go to our website. We'll have a form on there to ask us any question you have. Eddie, what's our next movie going to be?
Yeah, please tune in to our next episode when we look at the classic Honey, I Shrunk the Kids. Until then, I got to get going because I've got to unload the dishwasher so that way there are cereal bowls to Cheerios in the morning.
Yeah, and I gotta go send out some ant traps. Gotta kill me some ants. So, talk to you next time.